We're talking with Dr. Jeff Edwards, Extension Wheat Specialist, of course, for Oklahoma State University. And Jeff, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about this is kind of a unique meeting you're at here, Southern Plains Beef Symposium. Normally you're talking to wheat producers about grain production, but you're talking to guys that utilize wheat as a forage, and that is their intention from start to finish as far as how they want to handle that particular crop on behalf of their cattle. Now, What are some things you're going to be trying to tell them regarding forage and wheat production?
Well, it's a different audience, but you know, when you think about Oklahoma wheat production, it's a big part of our production. Out of 5.5 million acres every year, there's about 2 million, 2.5 million. That's a lot of acres that never harvest any grain. And what the producers who are focusing primarily on forage production need to focus on is early planting, upping that seeding rate. If they're at 90 pounds, if they go up to 120 pounds per acre, they'll see a benefit from that. Certainly if they're from 60 and they need to bump up to at least 90 pounds per acre. They need to look at maybe narrowing their row spacing a little bit down to at least 7.5-inch row spacing, and what they're going to do is close those rows more quickly. The other thing they need to do is maybe take a look at some of the varieties that they're growing and put some emphasis on maybe bringing in some better seed quality. Better seed quality will produce more vigorous plants that will make more forage, and you'll have that forage earlier, and that's really where the difference is those first few weeks, maybe getting those cattle out there a few weeks earlier than you would if you had poor quality seed or were using a lower seeding rate.
And when it comes to that selection of a variety, it's a little bit of a different game than if you're trying to do grain only, even grass and grain.
It is. Naturally, we have some varieties out there that are older varieties that are non-PVP protected that can be sold back and forth among farmers. But we also have some varieties out there, some of our newer varieties such as Duster, that are just pretty doggone good forage producers. Duster, Gallagher, Fannin would be another example that are PVP protected. So the producers will need to purchase certified seed, but if you look at the forage production on those varieties, it justifies that cost of the certified seed because they are extremely good forage producers. They're very hardy varieties that are well adapted to our production region here in the Southern Plains.
And this, as you mentioned, this can be a very good forage for this part of the country.
It can. It's a great forage, and it comes along at a time when our other forages are in short supply. It's a time when we can bring in those stocker cattle from the eastern U.S., from the cow-calf producers, and kind of serve as a buffer between that and the feedlot production. Our forage production in our trials, we've made, most years we'll make at least a ton per acre by mid-October, and there have been years where we've had around 3,500 pounds per acre of high-quality forage out there by mid-October. And again, for producers to do that, they need a good variety, they need a high seeding rate, and the other thing we haven't talked about, they need good fertility out there. They need good nitrogen fertility, at least 30 pounds. Per 1,000 pounds of forage they're going to produce. So for most of them, that's going to be anywhere from 60 to 90 pounds of nitrogen out there. Put about 50 pounds of DAP in furrow, and that's a really good way to get a good start on forage production and to set yourself up for success with fall forage production.
And I guess what? Not so much worrying about weed issues, but instead you may be worried about some insects.
Worried about insects. The weed issues, not as much. You know, I had a question earlier tonight about Italian ryegrass or Marshall ryegrass and how to get more of it. And I said, hey, all I'm worried about is trying to kill the stuff. I'm not interested in any more of it. But they should be concerned about insects and monitoring insects. We can have things such as armyworms or even grasshoppers late summer when that forage is coming out of the ground, and it's really critical to protect those crops. And the key to that, they aren't predictable, those type of insect issues. And the key there is to just stay out there, stay on top of it, and scout it on a regular basis. When that weed is first popping out of the ground there in early September, it's pretty important to be out there every 3 or 4 days to keep an eye on the situation, because those are the type of issues, armyworms, grasshoppers, that can almost blow up overnight. And you have to be on top of it or you can lose a forage crop in a hurry.
Jeff, let's talk a little bit about, let's go beyond just the forage issues. We've got a lot of farmers that will be looking at obviously starting to put wheat in the ground fairly soon. A lot of that would be primarily for forage early on, but a little bit later on for grain. You know, lessons we've learned from 2014, very, very tough to grow a crop, obviously, without moisture. What are some recommendations you've got for guys that are going to be trying to plant wheat, whether it's forage or, you know, later on for grain here in 2015?
Well, we've been fortunate that we've gotten quite a bit of rain this summer. So we do have a decent profile of soil moisture in much of the state. So the key is going to be to preserve that. Try and limit tillage to shallow tillage operations. If you're in a no-till situation, be sure and control that green vegetation out there, and make sure you keep that under control to reduce the moisture use. But the other thing that we're going to do based on last year, especially in those no-till fields, if you're planning on harvesting any grain, you need to make sure and control any volunteer grasses, whether it's wheat, crabgrass, whatever. Make sure it is dead, completely brown, 2 weeks prior to planting, and that's going to break that green bridge for the wheat curl mite, and it will prevent problems with high plains virus and wheat streak mosaic virus from showing up. We had a lot of that downstate last year, and don't want to see those issues again, so be sure and control that volunteer. Make sure it's dead 2 weeks prior to planting.
What are you hearing from our seed producers? Are we going to have good selection of seed for 2015, you think?
There is a decent amount of seed out there. It's tight. For our forage producers, from what I've been told, the rye, cereal rye supply is extremely tight this year, and some of those producers may need to be looking at maybe switching over to wheat or triticale because they won't find rye seed. Either of those will do fine if they manage them correctly. In terms of our wheat varieties for grain, we have a decent supply out there. I think some of our producers may wind up looking northward for some of that seed. We've been fortunate, I know, especially with our OGI varieties, that we have several OGI producers now in Kansas, and they had a little better year than we did, and they may have to look outside of their traditional area to find some of that seed, but there is some seed out there.